So, Amy, why... Oh, no, we got to start with the... That's right, the intro. That's right. Well, let me squeak my chair first. I need a new chair that doesn't squeak. Well, this is Sherry Gregory.
And I'm Amy Carroll.
And you're listening to Grit and Grace, Good Girls Breaking Bad Rules, the podcast that equips you to lose who you're not, love who you are, and live your one life well. So, Amy, I have a question for you. Why is it that things that would be such minor annoyances on, like, I don't know, March 17th, become like a dagger to the heart on December 25th? Why do things hurt more at the holidays?
Well, it just seems like everything is amped up during the holidays. And we talked about this in one of the other episodes. Everything's bigger and brighter and louder. And for HSPs, that's especially difficult, right, Sherry? But I think even for all of us, it makes things, everything bigger and brighter and louder. And okay, so I'll give you one example in my life, is that I have a constant battle with my weight. And I tell you, you know, we all eat probably larger than normal meals at Christmas time, Thanksgiving. We've been eating larger than normal meals since November. Right?
So true.
And I saw the funniest meme on Facebook the other day. It gave Christmas rules, but I think these rules should apply all year long. Number one was, do not go into debt trying to show people how much you love them.
Oh, that's
great.
Good
rule. Number two, do not go home to see family if it damages your mental health.
No
I
comment.
Thought that was... I thought that was a good one. And it really is. You guys wrote about that and overwhelmed. Mm. But the last one was my favorite one. If someone comments on your weight, eat them. I died laughing. I was like, oh, yes, sir. So comments, especially about weight, are bigger and brighter and louder at Christmas.
Just bite their head right off. I like that. Well, you know, number two is a good one, you know, because here's what happens to me, okay? So, like, somebody asks an innocent question. Like, they just want to find out, you know, how things are going with my graduate work. And, you know, any other time of the year, I would hear them asking a very nice question like, so tell me how things are going with your degree work. But at the holidays, what I hear, I'm not saying they say this, what I hear is something like, when are you finally going to graduate? And that's what I end up reacting to, as if they've said it that way. It must be something about hanging around the people that I have so much baggage. I mean, people I have so much history with, you know, and... So maybe that's where the phrase insult upon injury comes from. You know, like we have all these decades of injury and then this one more little thing lands. And so that's the insult upon injury. And maybe none of the rest of our listeners are dealing with any holiday hurts. Let's hope not. But maybe something got said by somebody to somebody and some of our listeners need to process through some holiday hurts.
Well, in that this amped up season, it is so easy to start seeing how we measure up either by our accomplishments, like what you were talking about, or weight, like I was talking about, or a thousand other things. One of our listeners said this, I try so hard to do everything the way my people want it, but it seems it never measures up. I just need to hear that I do some things right. I have good days, but I'm so exhausted. I want to feel the freedom and have the life Jesus died for me to have. Thank you for offering something positive for me as well as others experiencing the same constant negativity. It made me feel good that she loves the positivity of this show. And I think we're all longing for that freedom this time of year.
Absolutely. So let's ask the hard question. What past hurts do we still carry around that keep us from forgiving others?
When I considered this question, it was really funny, Sherry, because I was like, oh, I don't have any of that. I really did. I searched and thought, I really feel like I've tried to live in forgiveness and I think it's all good. And then the Lord he's so faithful, isn't he? He started bringing to mind people that I actively avoid. I've talked about this before, my habit of ghosting. And I felt like the Lord was saying to me, hey, have you forgiven her? Have you forgiven him? these people that you actively avoid, or have you conveniently just forgotten that you haven't forgiven them because you haven't seen them in so long?
So the Amy version of forgiveness is to just avoid. So yeah, so that if you quit returning my phone calls, I know I've done something, and you're like, instead of forgiving me, you're just gonna go, okay. No, I totally resonate with that. And you know, here's the thing: as I was thinking this through, I realized that the things I have a hard time forgiving totally correspond to my primary love languages. So my number one love language is words of affirmation. And you know from doing life with me that what hurts me the most, what I have the hardest time laying down, are careless, unkind, and cutting words. Like, they replay over and over in my head. I mean, you've heard me say it a million times. What I hear, I take to heart. And it's not that I'm holding it there on purpose. It's just those words lodge in my heart. And then my number two love language is time. So I carry those hurtful words with my right hand, and in my left hand, I'm carrying this record of all the memories of when somebody important to me seemed to have time for everybody but me. And so they seem to just be in a hurry, like I got their spare change of time, but they managed to have time to invest in everybody else. And so I end up with these armloads of hurt. Right arm is the words that hurt, and the left arm is the time they didn't spend with me. So yeah, that's what I carry around and I'd like to let go of.
Those are hard things. And speaking of hard things, okay, so we have loved our interns putting together these questions for us, but I'm just saying that they ask us harder questions, so we ask ourselves. So this next one, lovely question from an intern is, what... We have to be honest. Okay. What past hurts have I been forgiven for?
Oh, yeah. I think we need to like reevaluate the entire intern program.
Exactly. You're all fired, girls.
Who needs this kind of honesty? Who said we believe in candor? I don't, when it's this uncomfortable.
Isn't it so good, though? Painfully good.
Yeah, like you say, it hurts so good. Well, you know, the obvious answer is that I've been forgiven of all of them. But here's the thing. So I grovel over certain hurts that I've caused to others while ignoring others. And I think it goes back to the love languages. Like if I said something that hurts somebody, then I will apologize for that for years. Like I'll keep bringing it up because to me, that matters so much. But my concern isn't for them. It's still very self-centered because, you know, that's what would matter the most to me. But I don't really care that much about acts of service. Like, I always think I could hire somebody to do that. Like, it's not a big deal. And so I don't pay nearly as much attention to the hurts I might be causing by neglect. Like, if there's people in my life whose primary love language is act of service and I'm not doing acts of service, that I could be actively hurting them by not doing that for them. And that's a really sobering thought.
It's sobering and it resonates so much with me. I have never considered that. And when I did consider that, it was really hair-raising because I do tend to obsess over things I've said, just like you. Like I replay those tapes at night. And so I try to be careful about the things I say, even though I stick my foot in my mouth at times also. And those are the things I care about. But there are other things that I realize have seemed like no big deal to me. One of the things that has created huge flashes of painful insight recently is this engagement of my son, which has been so amazing and so wonderful. But I suddenly have stepped firmly into my mother-in-law's shoes.
Oh.
So she and I have a great relationship, but you know, relationships grow over time.
Yeah.
And so, but she was a mom of two sons. Oh. I am a mom of two sons. And it's so funny because some little things have happened along the way. And recently I was talking to her and I said, Barbara, I am now standing in your shoes. And can I just say, I'm really sorry. Because I look back on some of the things. Well, I look at some of the things my future daughter-in-law is doing for me that are so kind and lovely and thoughtful. And guess what? I did not do those things.
So your eyes are being opened and you are suddenly having an understanding of, of hurts that you may have unintentionally caused, and that you understand them now.
Yes, absolutely. And that my mother-in-law obviously has forgiven me for those hurts over the years without saying a word to me. But now I think she's probably giggling all the time at me because I'm standing in her shoes.
You know, that's such a great example of grace, though, that you're now recognizing the gift of grace that you've been given all along. Yes. And you're having the grit to face all this yourself. So, all right, well, how does the truth of what we've been forgiven for help remind us that we are free to forgive others?
Well, I think anytime we consider the grace that Jesus has given us and what that actually covers. Pause there for a moment. What that grace actually covers, it makes us freed up to give grace to other people. I tell you, I saw a stunning example of this in a group of women that I was part of. One of the women in that group had been abused by her father. But this woman had forgiven her father and had relationship with him. Now, let me be quick to say, because of the abuse that she suffered, she put boundaries on that relationship for safety's sake.
Sure.
With her children and with herself. However, I was astounded by the relationship she was able to forge with her father because of the forgiveness she had. And I asked her about that one day, like, how can you even stand to be in the same room as that man? And she said, Amy, I've been given so much grace. And because I recognize it, Jesus has freed me to give grace to my father. And it has just created such a picture for me that has continued to free me as well.
Okay, well, what this all ends up meaning for me is that I have to give up one of my favorite things to think to myself, because when I feel like I need to forgive somebody, there's this tape of pride that runs in the back of my head. Well, at least I'm not the kind of person who would ever, and then you fill in the blank with, I'm not the kind of person who would say that kind of thing, or I'm not the kind of person who would use that tone of voice, or I'm not the kind of person who would refuse to apologize for using harsh words, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Well, here's the thing. I am the kind of person who hurts other people. I just do it in a different way. We all are the kind of person who hurt other people. So genuine sorrow for the hurt that I've caused others, I believe, will naturally lead me to truly value the forgiveness that God offers me. And as I embrace God's grace, which is what we talk about all the time, my natural response is going to be to offer the same forgiveness and grace to others. And so what this made me have to realize is, when I'm feeling grumpy and stingy about grace, which I have to admit I have been feeling that way lately, it means I'm back to focusing too much on the hurts that other people have caused rather than focusing on God's grace. My concerns are valid, but my focus is off. And so when the truth of how I've been forgiven, what I've been forgiven for, really sinks in, that natural response is going to be to want to respond in grace and generosity to others.
That is so rich, Sherry. That whole thing, I'm going to have to replay that and re-listen to it. One of the things that I love that you said is that my concerns are valid, but my focus is all wrong. And you know, one of the realizations that I had is that when you say concerns are valid, it's okay to look at situations and call them what they are. And in fact, not only is it okay, but it is required before you can actually forgive that thing. You ever thought about that? So it's okay to name it and then forgive it, because the forgiveness allows our focus to shift to the right place.
So good.
So what would it truly feel like to be free to forgive and love others without fear?
Okay, so I thought about this and I realized that I would have to give up two main fears. And the first one is huge, and it is so tied into that perfectionistic streak in me. My number one fear is that other people are getting away with murder, and that justice isn't being served, and that I'm the one who's dealing with all the consequences of what they did, and they aren't getting any consequences, and that's not fair. They should say they're sorry, and they should mean it until I'm satisfied. So there, that's how I feel about that. I may have strong feelings about this topic. And you know, living as much life as I have, that almost never happens. Like, that's just not the way things happen on this planet. And I can get so stalled out there. And then I think the second fear is it's going to be shorter, but it's still closely related. My fear is that they're going to hurt me again. Mm. And so I justify being unforgiving because I'm afraid it's just going to happen again if I forgive them. And if I don't forgive them, then I can stay distant and I can protect myself. And I had no idea. That's really what it comes down to.
Well, that's interesting. You said you had no idea, because I listened to you talk, I thought, wow, it's freedom just to name those fears.
Yeah.
That's a step towards freedom. And the free really is the key word in there. And I started thinking past the fears to what it looks like to be free, that my heart would be free from bitterness, from hopelessness, from that fear or those fears, I guess I should say. And my mind would be free in the two ways that I know that I'm grappling with fear. In unforgiveness and relationship is just obsessive worrying, but also these hypothetical conversations that I have. And today, listen, I'm cleaning bathrooms today, and I don't know why I have the hypothetical conversations when I'm scrubbing the bathtub, but
oh my goodness,
holy smokes, it's my mind has been a fertile playground today, and I need to refocus. I'm so glad we're recording now.
I'm glad I'm not the only one who has these hypothetical conversations. Well, how would we treat people differently if we knew that their words and actions weren't about us or controlled by us at all?
Well, I believe that giving others the benefit of doubt releases generosity. Mm. And I started thinking it releases generosity to myself when I release them, you know, so it helps me and it helps others. And what happens is that when I release myself and others, that I give people the grace and the space to be human. I mean, it really goes back to that, you know, our conversation with Michelle Cushat so long ago, and there was this moment where she says, I'm just human. And I remember almost sobbing when she said it. And, you know, when we know that other people are human, we don't put them on pedestals, that we don't create expectations that they can't live up to, then all this other stuff kind of goes away, or it gets put into its proper perspective anyway.
Mm, so good. You know, I feel like I constantly get on the cusp of grasping that other people's actions and words really aren't about me and that I can't control them. And then I fall back into the pit of reacting as if everything really is all about me. And so I've just really so appreciated you talking about moving into this new role of mother-in-law. And you said you want to be unoffendable. And I thought, wow, that is such a great goal. And I even about a year or two ago, I read a book called Unoffendable. And I tell you, I highlighted it until it glowed in the dark. I need to go back and reread it. Or maybe I just need to get a new copy and like a new set of highlighters and go through it again. Because here's the thing, I want to live that way. I want to live unoffended and unoffendable. I want forgiveness to be a pre-decision. So like it's already done. It's a non-negotiable, not an afterthought. Or like with me, sometimes it's a last resort. And I don't want to live that anymore. Lori Young, who put this episode together for us, she had a great metaphor here. She said, it's easy to get intertwined with the words being spoken by someone else. Like the words are a rope and I'm getting tangled up in them. Like their choice of words has something to do with me. I can freely choose to cut the rope, walk away from the rope, ignore the rope because, of course, it's not even real, or let the rope tie me up and feel somehow trapped and angry by their words. When I forgive, the rope disappears. When I remember I have no control over the words that are coming out of their mouth, their words should have no effect on me. It's just information. When I receive the information, I make a decision as to what to do with the information. And I love the idea that the rope isn't even real and it just disappears when I forgive. That's what I want. That's that image of a rope disappearing as I make the choice to become unoffendable. That's going to stick with me.
Beautifully said. Well, and it ties right into our key verse, 1 John 4:8. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear. There's no rope.
Yes.
Because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in God's love.
So what's the bad rule for this episode?
Holding a grudge makes me right and keeps others accountable. You know, I went back to that whole thing. I'm so much like you. Like, people must be held accountable, right? That's not freedom or forgiveness that we've been talking about here. And it's funny because that stance makes me feel guilty and responsible, which is not good.
Okay, but hang on a second. This is the stance of playing God, and yet God is love. So we're not even playing God well. Oh, my goodness.
Oh, gosh. What a ouchy insight there. So the truth to focus on is...
Thank you, Amy. Do move on.
I'm free and freed by forgiveness.
Oh, yes. And so Lori had this closing comment on how we can tie in the theme of His grace is enough with this episode. She said, His grace is enough to cover my sins and help me to release my hurts, anger, shame, guilt for forgiveness. His grace frees me to live like I've been forgiven, to forgive others, and to love them well. I just love that sequence, to live, forgive, and love. We hope you've enjoyed this episode of Grit and Grace, Good Girls Breaking Bad Rules.
Make sure to join us for our New Year's episode called How to Refill When You're Feeling Drained.
For today, grow your grit, embrace God's grace, and when you run across a bad rule, you know what to do. Go right on ahead and
break it. So it helps me and it helps others. And what happens is that both for me and for others, that when I'm like, what was the question? That when I release myself and others, that I give people the grace. And